fortunate to have our Prabhuji, Chaitanya Charan Das Prabhuji. And he is going to enlighten us on the topic of how Lord Nityananda complements you, Lord Chaitanya, the conservative, liberal harmony at the heart of our tradition. Prabhuji, have you joined the call?
Tipni Mataji will give the introduction.
Okay, okay. So before we hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Tiffany Mataji to do the introduction to Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Tiffany Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Pavya Mataji. It is good to see you on the call. And Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is a monk, mentor, and spiritual author. He has been educated in electronics and telecommunications engineering from the Government College of Engineering, Pune. He subsequently served as a software engineer in a prominent multinational software corporation. Seeing the prevalent problems of stress, depression, and addiction, and overall misdirection, all due to lack of spirituality, he felt inspired to dedicate his life to the cause of sharing the spiritual wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita. He travels all over the world, from Australia to America, giving talks on spiritual subjects in universities such as Princeton and Cambridge, and companies such as Intel and Microsoft. Prabhuji is the author of the world's only Gita Daily feature, wherein he writes a 300-word inspirational reflection on a verse from Bhagavad Gita. As of now, he has written over 1,700 Gita meditations that are posted on GitaDaily.com, and they are read through daily feeds by thousands from all over the world. He also answers questions by seekers on his site, The Spiritual Scientist, where his over 3,500 audio answers and several hundred articles are available. His articles have been published in many national newspapers, and his writings in English have been translated into several foreign languages and several Indian languages. He is a member of ISKCON's leading intellectual body, the Shastric Advisory Council, and is the associate editor of ISKCON's global magazine, Back to Godhead. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is also the author of 16 books. So Hare Krishna, welcome to the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So I'm grateful to be here with all of you today. If at any time if I'm not audible or visible clearly, please let me know. So we are discussing today and tomorrow about the extraordinary magnanimity, mercifulness of Lord Nityananda. And I will discuss this from a particular framework. That framework is how within our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, they are both eternal manifestations of the Supreme Lord, and yet they embody different moods. Lord Chaitanya's mood overall is the mood of magnanimity. He's Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Mahavadanyaya, one who is extraordinarily, unparalleledly merciful. And yet, even within, there can be levels of mercy, and we consider Nityananda Prabhu to be an even more merciful manifestation of that same divine principle. So, in general, it is said that in every tradition, there are liberals and there are conservatives. Now these words can sometimes be very easily misunderstood. And in some places, those who are considered liberals are looked down upon. Liberals means those who are loose, those who are relativistic, those who are lax. That my word might have a negative connotation in some circles. And conservatives, that word might have a negative connotation in some places, where somebody is conservative is considered to be narrow-minded or bigoted or very rigid in their very opinionated in their own views, that I am right, I know everything. However, it's not like that. So the perspective which I'll be taking is that how, while Lord Chaitanya himself embodies the Mahavadanyaya avatar, even within within the manifestation, in fact, the supremely merciful incarnation, even within that also, this dynamic of liberal and conservative plays around. And it is that to some extent, while Lord Chaitanya, both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are merciful, but we could say Lord Chaitanya manifests the conservative side of the tradition, Lord Nityananda manifests the liberal side of the tradition. And both of them are together. Both of them are spreading the mission together. In fact, on our very altar, both of them are dancing together. So, liberals and conservatives, they don't have to be at loggerheads with each other. They don't have to fight with each other. And this liberal conservative is not just an abstract philosophical debate or just a debate for some people at some levels of the GBC or something like that. In our own lives, there are times when we need to be strict with ourselves or strict with others also if required. And there are times when we need to be more understanding, understanding with others and understanding with ourselves. So let's try to understand this principle of liberal and conservative as it applies to every tradition. And then we will see how it applies specifically to the manifestation of Gaura and Nithai. So I'm sharing my screen here. You see a tradition. Here you will see the tradition to be like a line coming from the past. And then that line meets with a plane. And where the line meets the plane, that is the living tradition. So the tradition has existed in the past. And as it is existing at the current moment, that is the living tradition. And now that living tradition is connected to the past by fidelity, by faithfulness. And that living tradition is connected with the present by flexibility. So flexibility is resourcefulness. Sorry. So resourceful, what does it mean? That there are certain truths in every tradition that can't be changed. And those truths need to be preserved. So we can call this as fidelity is faithfulness. So if we have a high fidelity sound recorder, then as the sound originally was, it is reproduced. That is faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is extremely important. But at the same time, flexibility is also required. So you can see flexibility to be like the links. So the link that connects the tradition with the past is fidelity. The link that connects the tradition with the present is flexibility. That is resourcefulness. So what do we mean here by resourcefulness? We see Srila Prabhupada himself. Now, there were some traditional rules that sannyasis shouldn't travel across the oceans. And there is a purpose for that, that if the world is more materialistic in certain areas, especially in the western parts of the world, a sannyasi may find it difficult to follow the principles of purity of sannyas. So it is for their protection. But Prabhupada went beyond those statements. He was flexible. He was resourceful. And Prabhupada wanted to build a temple. He wanted to start a center in America. But initially, he didn't have the resources and he couldn't get the financial resources from India. His followers didn't have those resources because they were hippies, counterculture. They didn't really have a lot of money. So Prabhupada was flexible. Prabhupada converted a storefront into a temple. And in many ways, for many traditionalists, Prabhupada's temple would have seemed to be, hey, this is not a temple at all. Where is the spire on top? Where are the deities facing the east? Where is this? Where is that? But Prabhupada was resourceful. He was flexible. Whatever was available, he used it. And quite often, if you go to the lower east side, 26th Avenue, even if you go to that temple now that has been preserved, that is the place from where far more spiritual potency emerged and spread across the world than what has from many other temples, which might have grand architecture, might conform rigidly to architectural norms about temple building. So flexibility connects us with the contemporary world and fidelity connects us with the tradition. And both are required for a person, for the tradition to stay living. Now, if you consider, the conservatives are more concerned with fidelity. They want to, the living tradition, the conservatives are very concerned that the traditions stay connected, the living traditions stay connected with the past, the traditional world. So that is their priority. And that's why they are very, very concerned whenever anything is seems to be changed. The conservatives in general are very cautious about changing things. Now, liberals are also cautious about changing things, but liberals have a different priority. Their priority is to connect with the contemporary world. To connect with the contemporary world means that this is where people are at, and this is how we, this is what we need to do to connect with the people who are liberal, with the people who are at that level. So traditionally, for a sannyasi to actually, a sannyasi is served by and cared for by people who are themselves expected to be pure. I was a part of a yatra of some young devotees who had gone to Puri, and suddenly it started, it was at the Rath Yatra, suddenly it started raining. And okay, so when it started raining, at that time what happened was that the devotees found some shelter and they went to nearby Gaudiya Math. And the building which they went to in was a Gaudiya Math. And when they went in there, they saw there was a sannyasi who just came over there, and the sannyasi was going to take prasad. So he looked like a very venerable sannyasi. So one of the younger devotees says, can I serve prasad to that devotee, that sannyasi? And the assistant, the sannyasi, said, are you second initiated? He said, no. Then you cannot serve a sannyasi. Oh. So now that was the standard they were following over there. Now, if you look at Prabhupada, what to speak of having second initiated devotees cook for him? Prabhupada was cooking for people who were, leave alone second initiated, first initiated. They were not even pre-initiated devotees. They were people who were just living lives which would be considered very impure by traditional standards. In fact, for many of those early seekers who came to Srila Prabhupada, their only regulatory principle was to break all regulatory principles. All kinds of activity that we would consider impure. And yet Prabhupada served food to them, lovingly cared for them. And after that, they would just treat it as a hotel and walk away. And Prabhupada would wash their plates. So this was Prabhupada's compassion. So the point is, a devotee is concerned both ways. To stay connected with the past, and not just the past, to Krishna who is eternal, who has manifested through the tradition in the past. And a devotee wants to stay connected to the people in the present. And the way I will present, the point which I'm going to make is here that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they manifest a particular way of practicing bhakti and sharing bhakti. And what is that way? That now, while Lord Chaitanya, both of them are a part of the immensely devotional, devotionally potent and immensely merciful manifestation of the Lord, still there is a difference. And the difference is that while both of them are merciful, so they manifest the devotional mercifulness, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, relatively speaking, culturally conservative. And Nityanand Prabhu is culturally liberal. I'll explain what I mean by this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was devotionally very liberal in terms of being always available, traveling far and wide, and giving bhakti to everyone. But at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite careful. He was quite careful in terms of who he took prasad with. So, I'll show this over here. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya was culturally conservative. You know, when he went to Varanasi, at that time, most of the people over there were Mayavadis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, and he had their own only two people who were devotees at that time. Everyone else was Mayavadi. And Prabhupada says that that Varanasi is like the Vrindavan of the Mayavadis. Vrindavan of the Mayavadis means that is the place where all Mayavadis congregate and delight. And there were these two devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And now, one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya over there was a Brahmana. And the other was not a Brahmana. So what did Lord Chaitanya do? Lord Chaitanya stayed. Lord Chaitanya wanted to give his mercy to both devotees. He had, by his plan, asked them to go to Puri long before they had actually, long ago, so that eventually when he would come, there would be someone there to be with him. But while he was there, you know, he stayed at the house of the devotee who was not a Brahmana. But every single day, Lord Chaitanya went to the house of the devotee who was a Brahmana and took prasad over there. At one level, we can say through this, he gave his association to both of them. At another level, what we see is he respected the sensitivities of the local cultural environment over there. He did not disrupt that cultural environment. In terms of what? That traditionally it was expected that a sannyasi should take prasad only at the house of a Brahmana. And so it is described. Now, if we consider this, what I'm saying, let's look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita briefly. So in a dream, Chandrasekhar Acharya had seen that Lord Chaitanya had come to his home. Therefore, in the morning, Chandrasekhar went outside to receive the Lord. And this is outside Varanasi. When Chandrasekhar Acharya saw that the Lord has come, he became delighted, fell at his feet, and he invited him to come to his home. And then Tapan Mishra also heard that Lord has come. That this Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra were the two associates of Lord Chaitanya who were devotees and who were in Varanasi. So then he went to Chandrasekhar Acharya's house to meet him, and he invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his place for taking lunch. So then, in the meanwhile, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's assistant Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he took prasad at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. So Chandrasekhar Acharya was not a Brahmana. And then Tapan Mishra requested that, please do not accept any invitation from anyone but me. And so every single day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate at the house of Tapan Mishra. So now, of course, this is at one level a personal reciprocation with Tapan Mishra. But you can think about this from a perspective. So if some sannyasi comes to your house, and that person is staying at your house but never takes any prasad at your house, we would consider... to be, you know, what did I do? Because he didn't want to agitate the minds of the Mayavadis in Varanasi. He eventually wanted to reach out to them. He wanted to elevate them to the level of bhakti. And the only way he could have done that was by, first of all, earning their respect. So if they thought that this person is sannyasi, he doesn't even have a sense of discrimination. He doesn't understand where to take food and where not to take food. He doesn't understand what is pure, what is impure. Then they would not have considered him even worthy of conversing with. Yeah, see, why don't you study Vedanta? Why are you chanting and dancing on the street like this? So that is a core devotional principle. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't change that. He still chanted, he still danced, he still sang on the streets. But at the same time, he showed deference to the local cultural norms. How? By accepting that, okay, if this is what you want, this is what you will respect, then I'll do that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was culturally conservative. So he cared, in one sense, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very conscious of public perception. So in one sense, now in today's culture, if you want to be conscious of public perception, we will have to be somewhat liberal, at least in most of the world. But you know, the point is that he was conscious of public perception. And for that, in order to make sure that the public perception doesn't become negative, he was culturally quite conservative. That's why he would not even meet Pratap Rudra. That where Pratap Rudra was a king and he wanted to meet him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that what will people think that if a sannyasi is hobnobbing with a wealthy person like a king, they'll think, does a sannyasi have any renunciation at all? So he didn't do that. And even when he gave his mercy to Pratap Rudra, it was only when Pratap Rudra came in the garb of an ordinary person. Now, in contrast, we see Nityanand Prabhu. Nityanand Prabhu is, you could say, culturally radical. He was an avdhut. Now, some people, there is a different opinions whether avdhut was technically a sannyasi or not in the traditional sense. Now, Prabhupada says, he was avdhut sannyasi. Now, avdhut sannyasi is not exactly the same as like a formal tridandi sannyas or even ekadandi sannyas. It is a person whose avdhut, as the word means, it just means going beyond the rules and regulations of society. So he was avdhut, but still he was in the renounced order. And Nityanand Prabhu, he in one sense remarkably flouted cultural norms. There are times when Nityanand Prabhu would dress in extraordinarily opulent clothing. And there is that beautiful story, which we might discuss in tomorrow's session. But the point is that he, by the way he was dressed so opulently that some thieves were attracted to him. Now, thieves might respect Lord Chaitanya from a distance, or they might not care for him. He's a sannyasi. What do I got to do with him? So the people whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't reach, Nityanand Prabhu reached by extraordinary manifestations of mercy. So he is dressing himself in very opulent clothes. Not just opulent clothes, he would wear costly ornaments and he would dress like a king. And that's what perked the attention of these thieves. Oh, maybe we can rob from him. And they came again and again and they tried to rob. And in trying to rob Lord Nityananda, they thought about him, they realized his power, and eventually they were delivered. And eventually Nityanand Prabhu had what can be called as a robbers, other robbers, and they would preach to them and they would make them into devotees. So Nityanand Prabhu did that because he was culturally radical, he was culturally liberal. He defied the normal cultural norms of how a devotee, what to speak of a renounced devotee like avdhut should dress. And he dressed in remarkably different ways. So he reached to people who would normally not be reached out to. Similarly, we see that there is a statement Chaitanya Bhagavat where he says that even if Lord Nityananda goes to a liquor house or a brothel, I will not doubt Lord Nityananda. I know that he is going there to deliver those people. Now, why does he make this statement? That at one level, we can say it is a statement of faith in Lord Nityananda. And definitely, it is a statement of faith. But it is also, along with that, a warning. A warning that don't apply material vision to judging Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda would do many remarkably provocative or questionable things. And he was purely motivated. His motivation was compassion. And in fact, Lord Chaitanya tells Lord Nityananda also, that is one of the reasons, you know, that, you know, you please become a grahastha. As a grahastha, you can reach out to people whom I can't reach out to. And Lord Nityananda had no interest in becoming a grahastha. But he accepted that. For what purpose? To reach out to people. And then that's what he did. So we could say that at that time, for somebody who was in the renounced order, whether it was a technical sannyas in the traditional sense or the avadhut sannyas, whatever it was, sannyas. And in some ways, even now, if a sannyasi changes the ashram, that raises eyebrows. So we could say at that time, it would have been much more. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that out of compassion. We see that Nityananda Prabhu did it out of compassion. Lord Chaitanya was a grahastha and he became a sannyasi so that he could reach out to more people. And Nityananda Prabhu was a sannyasi and he became a grahastha so that he could reach out to more people. So that's resourcefulness. What is required where, that varies from place to place, from according to time, place, circumstance. And this difference between the, in one sense, the mission is the same. Sometimes we talk about the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, the mood and mission is important. At the same time, the two are different. That, you know, so Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda had the same mission, but they had different moods. So we can have many different devotees in our movement who are carrying on the mission of Srila Prabhupada, but their mood might be different. So sometimes we just look at the mood and they say, you know, your mood, this is not right. This is wrong. You're criticizing somebody as a deviant and so many things. And actually, this is what happened with Lord Nityananda. Now, we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that actually there were loving conflicts between Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. And these were very sweet and transcendental. Both of them had the deepest respect and the deepest love for each other. Both of them knew that they both loved Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya loved both of them. At the same time, they had their own personal and peculiar ways of dealing with each other. And sometimes some of their followers couldn't understand. Advaita Acharya, we could say, although he was also very merciful, and in some ways he was also culturally, you could say again, he was devout. Devotionally radical. Although there are many other Brahmanas, and he said that a Vaishnava like you is far, far greater. But at the same time, in other ways, Advaita Acharya was somewhat conscious of the culture and conscious of the people's perceptions. And when you talk about people's perceptions, we're talking about which people are we talking about? Because people are not one homogeneous unit. So Lord Chaitanya was concerned about, and Advaita Acharya to some extent, they were concerned about the Brahminical society at their times and how that Brahminical society was going to perceive them. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was not so much concerned about how that Brahminical society perceives them. He was concerned more about how he can reach out to people who have been left out of the Brahminical society. He can reach out to people who have been largely left out of the Brahminical society. Now they have been left, they may have been left out because they themselves left, or they may have been left out because the way they were living that the Brahminical society turned away from them, which actually Nityanand Prabhu wanted to reach out to them. And to reach out to different people, one has to present things differently. We cannot use the same message to reach out to all kinds of people. Of course, the core message will be the same, but its presentation has to be different. At a very basic level, then if we are speaking to people in different parts of the world, we may have to present the message in their language. So if we go to South America and say people don't know English over there, then we may have to speak in Spanish, or if you go to certain parts of Canada, we may have to, they may not understand English over there. So maybe French has to be spoken over there. We go to certain parts of India, remote parts, the English may not work there. We have to speak Marathi or Bengali or Odia or Kannada or Tamil or whatever. So now if I say I'm going to speak in the scriptures in Sanskrit, I'll speak only in Sanskrit. Prabhupada wrote his books only in English, so I'll speak only in English. Well, if you're too rigid, we will not be able to reach to people. So in a sense, the living tradition is like a dynamic dance of faithfulness and resourcefulness. So Lord Chaitanya is the embodiment of that merciful tradition. And he is, in broadly speaking, he and Nityanand Prabhu, there is a dynamic dance between the both of them. Nityanand Prabhu represents the liberal side of the tradition. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represents the more culturally conservative side. And this is seen especially in the pastime of Jagai. And what happens in that pastime? Chaitanya is doing ecstatic kirtans. And there are many Brahmins who want to be a part of it. And somehow, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't let them because he feels that they don't have devotion. But then the kirtans start happening outside and people start coming for those kirtans, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundates the whole of Navadvip with the devotion over a period of time. So those who are conscious, who are a part of the Brahminical culture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the sheer power of his devotion, removes whatever barriers might be there. So like some Brahmins criticize him, but many people eventually become won over by his spiritual purity and potency. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reaches out to the people who are following the Brahminical culture, and they are part of the Brahminical culture. But Jagai and Madhai had fallen out of that Brahminical culture. And so they heard Lord Chaitanya's kirtans and they thought, okay, these people are doing some good things. They would sometimes in fun say Hare Krishna and imitate the kirtans. But they had no interest. They were not concerned. Some of the Brahmins were saying, are you really following the scriptures? Where do the scriptures say these names should be chanted? Maybe some other mantra should be chanted. Why chant any mantra at all? They were not concerned about it at all. So Nityananda Prabhu went to such people. And when he went to them, what did he do? He reached out to them at great personal risk. So sometimes some people think
frozen.
Yes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji's connection is not so good.
Internet problem, who knows?
Maybe someone can text Prabhuji.
He got disconnected, so perhaps he will rejoin.
Yeah, I'm calling him. Yeah, Prabhuji is connecting again.
Sorry, I got disconnected. So the internet went off over here. So we see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, both of them are working together. So I was making the point that danger and deviation can come not just from the contemporary world, it can come even from the tradition. Now, what do we mean by how can danger and deviation come from the tradition? If you consider not just the specific Gaudiya tradition, if you consider the broad Vedic tradition as it is being lived out in today's world, the greatest damage to the living tradition in today's world has been done by the caste system. And what is the caste system? The caste system is a deviation that has come from the tradition. That means at some time in the past, maybe several thousands of years ago, people started thinking that the caste is determined not by guna karma, but by janma, not by qualities and activities, but by birth. And that has become an entrenched notion. And that notion is not today coming from the contemporary world. It is coming from the tradition itself. So it's not that everything that we get from the past is necessarily pure and everything that we get from the present is necessarily impure. And nor is it that everything that we get from the present is impure. And certainly, of course, it's not true that everything that we get from the present is right. So the important thing is to be purposeful. So Lord Nityananda was purposeful. The purpose is to reach out to as many people as possible. So Jagai and Madai were left out by the Brahminical society. But Nityananda Prabhu decided to not leave them out. And what did he do? He decided, when he heard about Nityananda, he heard about Jagai and Madai, at that time, on hearing about them, he actually became excited. It is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that his eyes became excited with compassion. He said, amazing. He said, if I can deliver Lord Chaitanya's mercy to these people, these two brothers, and they become delivered, then the whole universe will sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And just as in the past, Lord Narayan is glorified for having delivered Ajamil, similarly, Lord Chaitanya will be glorified for delivering Jagai and Madai. So, in one sense, when he reached out to those people, Haridas Thakur is considered Namacharya. And he was himself, from the traditional perspective, outcast. And he was not only accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, but elevated to the level of Namacharya. But even Haridas Thakur had some hesitation. You can't go to those people. They are violent. They will attack, destroy. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of compassion was carried forward by Lord Nityananda. And when he carried that forward, what did he do? He actually wholeheartedly dedicated himself to reaching to places where no one else has reached. And most people would not even think of reaching there. And that was his, in one sense, for a person who was the people who were doing all kinds of reproachable activities. They were so impure because of their reproachable activities that Chaitanya Bhagavat says that if people even had the shadow of Jagai and Madai falling on them, then they would go and bathe in the Ganga to purify themselves. So the idea is that they were very impure and people would keep a long distance from them. And late, what did Nityananda Prabhu do? Nityananda Prabhu went to them. Now, why did he go to them? Because he wanted to reach Lord Chaitanya's mercy to them. And the way to do that was, he had to be culturally liberal. So Brahmanas in those society would live very purely and they would not associate with people who are so impure. They might give some discourse and people might benefit from that. They might perform some rituals or some sacrifices where even people who are impure might come and get some benefit. But they would not go out of their way to associate. An extreme example of this, or extreme, you could say, perversion of this, the purity, being pure is good. Seeking to be pure is good. But being puritanical means, I become more conscious of my purity than others' humanity. I become more conscious of my purity than others' humanity. That means in order to maintain my purity, I look down upon others, I demean others, and then I make people feel filthy. I make people feel dirty, unworthy. And being puritanical is very bad. So when somebody is puritanical, then people get alienated by that. So now those who have a holier than thou attitude, I am higher than everyone else and you are all lowborn. Then what happens is you just can't, we can't actually reach people. At one time I had gone to NIT Rourkela and they had organized a big seminar in the auditorium. Almost like 1,000 students were there. And after the talk, many of them wanted to ask questions. So I was staying in their guest room, which is near the auditorium. Many of them came to the guest room. And there were almost 40, 50 students who had come. All of them came and met for some time. And there was one boy who was just standing outside. And he was just standing outside. I said, why don't you come in? He looked at me. The others looked at each other. And they looked at me. I said, why don't you come inside? He said, can I? I said, yeah. If you have some questions, please come. He said that actually, I'm an untouchable. He said, I thought you may not want me to come in. So when I heard that, I was so perturbed. I actually got up and went out and, you know, pulled him into a hug and then brought him inside and seated him right next to me and I answered his questions. And then after that, one of the boys, other boys said that, you know, we are having a lot of Christian missionaries over here. They come and he said that when we even go to the Jagannath, in Rourkela is near Orissa, the Jagannath Puri. And he says, even when we go to any temples, the priests over there, they look down upon us. They treat us as impure. But when we go to a church, if at all we go to a church, they treat us, they welcome us. They treat us as the children of God. So why is this difference like this? So why is it that in our own tradition, we are looked down upon? So it seemed that there was a whole group of people, somehow they had come for their seminar because it was more of a self-help kind of talk. But they were from the scheduled caste kind of thing. And they had quite a reservation or even aversion toward Vedic culture. So, but somehow they liked my talk and then they wanted to come and discuss further. So when I heard about it, I felt so sorry. He said that within their own culture, they are within the broad Vedic culture, they are treated as outcasts. And then they go to some other religion. They said, you're the children of God. You're the son of God. You're welcome. So it is unfortunate that while our philosophy tells ultimately that everybody is equal, that we are all souls, we are all parts of Krishna. But sometimes, you know, we lose our humanity. So in the name of, this is how things are to be done. Now there can be valid reasons why, say, a pujari, especially a pujari who is doing deity worship, wants to be pure. And they may say, you know, okay, I'm going for the altar, so please, you know, keep a distance from me. But that can be done in a polite and respectful way. That doesn't have to make you be, that I'm doing a service which is pure, and that requires me to be pure. But that doesn't mean I have to look down upon others and say that others are impure. No, so puritanical means that our concern for our purity eclipses, overshadows, almost eliminates our humanity. And then that can backfire terribly. So we can alienate people if we become puritanical. We want to be pure. We want to help others become pure. But we can't afford to become puritanical. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was manifested in different ways to different people. Now a pujari on the altar or going to the altar may have to maintain certain standards of purity. But the same pujari, if that person is giving a class, is going out to people and reaching out to them, at that time, if a person starts emphasizing too much principles of purity, then you cannot reach out to people. So just as Nityananda Prabhu reached out to people whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't reach out to. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Lord can do anything and everything. And once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did what he did through Nityananda Prabhu. But personally, he wanted to manifest a particular example. And devotionally, both of them are merciful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from a devotional perspective, he was also quite radical. As we know in the kirtans in South India, he would just go and embrace people. And there's no mention of what caste they were from when he would embrace them. He would just embrace them and they would become surcharged with devotion. So, and they would become permeated. So in one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also very, very magnanimous. And in that sense, we can also say he's liberal. But in that particular context of what are the cultural norms expected for purity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu focused on reaching out to people of a particular group, and Nityanand Prabhu focused on reaching out to people in a particular group. And that's how they both reached out to different kinds of people. So Nityanand Prabhu manifests the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the way where he was culturally liberal. And tomorrow, I will elaborate on these two themes of how he delivered Jagai Madai and how he delivered the thieves. We'll discuss further aspects of how the conservative and the liberal, just as Gaur and Nitai, they are together and they are dancing and on the altar together. Similarly, we all may have particular focuses, we may have particular inspirations, we may have particular moods. But rather than focusing on the mood, we focus on the mission. And that's how we can minimize the conflict and we can focus, maximize the magnanimity. Whether that magnanimity manifests as cultural conservatism or whether it manifests as cultural liberalism. The important thing is it manifests as spiritual potency, as devotional mercy that elevates and enriches our hearts and elevates and enriches others' hearts. Just as Lord Nityananda Prabhu did for Jagai and Madai, and just as he did for the thieves whom he delivered. So I'll summarize what I spoke today. I spoke broadly on the theme of how Gaur Nitai embody the dance of the culture of the of conservative and liberal in our tradition. And in that connection, I talked about how what is liberal and what is conservative. So in the living tradition, what connects us with the past is fidelity, and that is, or you can call it faithfulness. And what connects us with the present, with the contemporary world, is flexibility, that is resourcefulness. So conservatives are more concerned with staying connected with the past, and liberals are more concerned about staying connected with the present. And both are important. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, of course, the magnanimous incarnation, no doubt. But at the same time, he was devotionally magnanimous and he was culturally somewhat conservative. I discussed the example of how he was very careful about whom he would take his food from when he was traveling, because he was reaching out to some people within the Brahminical culture. So if Sannyasi Mayavadi, they would look down upon him so much that he doesn't even know where to take food. And they would not have listened to him at all. So he did that. But Chaitanya, he didn't want to associate it with Pratap Rudra, because he wanted to be respected as a sannyasi, not be seen as attached. But Nityananda Prabhu would dress opulently and he even changed from sannyasa ashram to a grihastha ashram. So he even changed grihastha ashram so that he could reach out to people that others couldn't reach out to. So Jagai and Madai and the thieves, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, attracted by his magnanimity. And similarly, in our lives, you know, we also discussed how Prabhupada was both conservative in some ways, liberal in some ways. In terms of reaching out to people, Prabhupada did what was required. And danger and deviation can come from the contemporary world, but it can come also from the traditional world. The caste system is an example. And if we become puritanical, that means our concern for purity eclipses our humanity. And that's how we may alienate people. I talk about example in Jagannath Puri, where people within the Hindu broad Vedic tradition feel that they don't belong here, are made to feel that they don't belong here. And then others make them give them a sense of belonging. And then that is tragic. So for reaching out to different people, sometimes different modes of presentation are required. So rather than focusing on the mood, if we focus on the mission, then we all can dance together in the family of Lord, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, just as at its start, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are dancing together. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Adarani reflections or questions?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for joining the call on behalf of myself and Bhakti Sangha. We thank you so much for the call. Do you have a moment to answer any questions or maybe let people give reflections? Devotees give reflections?
Yes, okay. Please, yes.
If anyone out there, if anyone would like to ask Prabhuji a question or give a reflection, please do so.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Gurishta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhuji. And, you know, he nicely explained how to understand the mood of Sri Nityananda Prabhu for preaching and reaching out to the people, spreading the mission of Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada was so compassionate to the people who are meat eaters and doing so many things. But thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Happy to be of service. Thank you for the opportunity. So, Shyamagauri Mataji. Yes, Kadamba Priya Prabhu, you want to say something?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. This is Kadamba Priya Das from Montreal.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, my question is, like we understood about liberal and conservative and this understanding. So a devotee, like which path a devotee should take, Prabhu? Should a devotee be liberal or devotee be conservative or a mixture of both of them? And also, like I've seen, like for example, like we live in a house, and some materialistic people, they come to our house and they say, oh Prabhu, why did you buy like house in this direction? The house should be in northeast or this direction. You should do worship in east direction. You're not supposed to do this. You are doing bhakti, but you don't know all these things of vastu. So, Prabhu, what shall we do in this case, Prabhu?
Okay. So should devotees be liberal or conservative? Well, it depends on a lot on deshakala patra, as we say. See, to some extent, it is not entirely a matter of choice. This liberal conservative is not just within, say, our movement. It is everywhere. Now, if you consider the mainstream US politics, you know, there is one party which is considered liberal, the other is considered conservative. And it's not just in politics, it's everywhere. I am a writer, I study the English language. So in English language, you know, what is the duty of the guardians of the language? So somebody writes a dictionary. Are they meant to be liberal and include new words or new meanings of words? Or are they maybe meant to be conservative and say, this is the right meaning of the word, or this is the right word for this? Language keeps changing. So, and if a language doesn't change, then the language dies. Greek and Latin died because they didn't adapt. English has become among the most widely spoken languages in the world because it adapted. It included more and more words. So the liberal conservative, so the idea that English, these are the words and these are the words only we should be used. That's the conservating. No, these are new words in the language. That's liberal. So it's there. This is a dynamic which is there everywhere. And to some extent, even this has been studied by neuroscience and other things, by psychologists and neuroscientists. So it seems that to some extent, our brains are wired in particular ways. So we could say that conservatives are more concerned with orderliness, and liberals are concerned more with openness. So things should be done in an orderly way. That's the concern of conservatives. Liberals are more of openness. You know, okay, this is a new opportunity, new place, or new way of doing things. Let's explore. So what happens is that so to some extent, it may not be so easy for us to change. So some of us may be naturally more conservative, some of us may be naturally more liberal. What we can do and what we should genuinely try to do is not claim that this is the only way. This is the way that works best for me. And we can be honest in admitting that to ourselves and admitting that and telling that to others. You know, I need my space to do things. This is the way I will do things. But the problem comes when the liberals start criticizing the conservatives or conservatives start criticizing the liberals. So to some extent, we have to see what causes us agitation. So if, say, we are individuals who value orderliness more than openness. And then if somebody criticizes us for being disorderly, that will agitate us too much. We will ourselves not be able to tolerate disorderliness, and we'll not be able to tolerate that criticism that you're being disorderly. You are not doing things as they should be done. So for example, the criticism which you mentioned, that okay, in your home, the altar is not in this way and not in that way. That's basically a criticism that things are not as they should be. Now, okay, things were done in a particular way in the past. Is that the way they should always be done everywhere? Well, maybe not. That has to be decided. It's more important to have an altar in the home than to have an altar in a particular direction only. So now, for some of us, now one way you can know whether we have that conservative orientation or that liberal orientation. See, we all will be criticized in life, but certain criticisms will hurt us more than other criticisms. So, for example, if I am a writer, I value language very much, and if somebody criticizes me that your English is terrible, that will annoy and anger me much more than say somebody says, you can't sing properly. Well, I know I'm not a singer. I can't sing properly because that's not what I am good at. That's not where my values are invested so much. I know singing is important, but I can't do that. So somebody criticizes me for that, that won't affect me so much. So similarly for us, two things we can understand to decide. Now, what is it that disturbs us the most? Sometimes disorderliness disturbs some people the most. For some other people, closeness. No, why are you so rigid like this? Why can't you be a little adjustable? That disturbs them the most. And similarly, for some people to be criticized, you're so close-minded, you're so narrow-minded. That is an unbearable criticism. For some other people, that you are disorderly, that is an unbearable criticism. So what disturbs us in the world around us and what disturbs us from the people around us, that can help us get a sense of whether we could say wired more toward conservatism or wired more toward liberalism. So we are individuals in our tradition. Now we don't have this point to go, we don't have the room to go over there, but I have a separate class on this, that how in our tradition Bhaktivinoda Thakur is much more liberal. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, relatively speaking, was more conservative, and in some ways Prabhupada was quite conservative. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was intellectually quite liberal, and Prabhupada was intellectually quite conservative. So now we will need to explain that. But the point is, again, these are all transcendental acharyas and they are all serving Krishna, but they all have their own personal way of serving Krishna. Now, we are not acharyas, of course, but we are individuals and we have to do acharya in our life. So we can't act in a way that is unnatural to us. Krishna says that Shreyan Swadharma Guguna Paradharma Sunishtitat. He says, if somebody is a conservative, if you force them to become liberal, if somebody is, this is the time we should wake up the deities, this is the time we should do this, this is the time we should do this, this is the time we should do this. And that gives them a sense of structure and order in their lives. And that makes them feel, yes, I'm doing something worthwhile. So if that is what gives them strength and security and stability, then we should respect that and we should let them do that. If that's what gives us respect, that's what gives us stability, we should also value that and do that. But for some other people, say if there's opportunity for some particular service, some opportunity for some association, and that goes late into the night, and then we sleep late and then we wake late, and not that we are watching movies late night, but we're doing something devotional. Maybe it takes late night. Okay, it's a little disorderly, but we are able to reach out to people. We're able to do things we should not have been able to do. So there's openness. So what is more important? Is orderliness more important? Is openness more important? Ultimately, devotion is more important. And establishing the devotional connection is more important. So we have to see, each one of us, how best we can establish the devotional connection. And accordingly, we mold our lives. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. If we are prayerful, then Krishna will give us that guidance, how best we can serve. So if somebody especially wants to reach out to new people, then to some extent, they need to be liberal. If somebody feels that I don't have that inclination to be liberal, then they don't have to. The best thing is, we can have our way of practicing bhakti, But we don't make, say, insist that this is the only way. That the conservatives can also be practicing bhakti very earnestly and they will also be compassionate. And liberals can also be practicing bhakti very, very earnestly and they may also be strict in their own ways. But their definition of strictness may be different from the definition of strictness for the conservatives. So we find the space within ourselves, for ourselves to practice bhakti, and we move forward that way. So does it answer your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much, Kadam Diabu. Okay. So yes, we have, maybe we can take, I don't know how much time we have. Vivek Prabhu,
you've been here
for a long time.
Am I audible?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes, Prabhu. Yes. The class was very good. Like, it was helpful. I have a doubt. Like, Prabhuji, with Guru's mercy only we got this devotional service, right? Guru has planted the Bhakti Lata Beej. So we also have this duty to protect it. Someone may smash the creeper, right? Or like, we have to be somewhat careful, right? So while preaching also, we have to keep this in mind and like preach consciously. So I have like, how should we take this? Like, how can we know that the person may not damage our bhakti and we can preach to him?
Oh, okay. So now I understand your question. What you are asking is that in trying to reach out to people, how do we protect ourselves? Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So that's a valid concern. So we have to at least to some extent know our adhikar, know what is my level. So, you know, if it's like a, while there is a mission of compassion, there is also the question of competence. So suppose somebody is in the police or they're in the army and they're protecting the country from barbarous invaders or terrorists. And if this person, the soldier, has simply an ordinary pistol and the opposite terrorist has a machine gun, an automatic gun, well, it's just no matter how sincere this person might be in defending the country, they'll be slaughtered. So maybe in that situation, they didn't fight with that particular terrorist. They can fight some other battle and let somebody else fight this battle. So in the actual conduct of bhakti, sincerity is important, but competence is also required. So for example, now we may want to reach out to people who would normally not come up to bhakti. But if somebody is completely like an advocate of a particular ideology, somebody might be an advocate of Mayavad, somebody might be an aggressive preacher of atheism, somebody might be an aggressive preacher of, say, communism or relativism in some way, postmodernism. Now, if we try to reach out to them and they will make such arguments that we will get bewildered. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. So this can happen at an intellectual level. This can also happen at a cultural level. At a cultural level, what may happen is that sometimes in reaching out to people, we may end up in situations that maybe are not the best for our spiritual life. So once I was in America only, in Texas, in one place. And it was a college program. And I gave a class and there was an American girl. She asked a question. Now, why do religions fight among each other? So I gave an elaborate answer explaining about the modes and exclusivism, inclusivism, pluralism, elaborately. So I could see that she was very satisfied with the answer. And after that, she came and she came to meet me after the class. And she said, you know, this question had been burdening me for so long. Your answer has relieved me. I'm so grateful. And she says, can I give you a hug? I was taken aback. Now, I appreciated that she was just, it was for her, it was just an expression of gratitude. Now, I couldn't say, obviously, I couldn't say yes. As a brahmachari. At the same time, I didn't want to be rude to her and say no. I didn't want to be puritanical and then say, you know, that. But then I just looked at the devotee who was next to me, who had organized the program. The grihastha preacher. I signaled with eyes, please help me. So then he helped me, but in a very unexpected way. So he said, you know, he's a monk. So on his behalf, you can hug me. Now I said, that's not what I expected. So then what happened was, his wife was there next to him. And his wife said, he's my husband. On his behalf, you can hug me. And then that girl hugged that Mataji. So now we have to be careful. So after that incident, I realized that I will usually not go for a program where are entirely new Western people if there is no Grihastha devotee with me. So I tell them, you know, you are my protectors over there. So we have to know our adhikar and accordingly make sure that we don't put ourselves in situations that are too dangerous. So whether it is culturally, whether it is relationally, whether it is intellectually, we reach out according to our capacity. Does it answer your question?
Yes. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
So thank you. So we'll have one last question and then we can stop. It'll continue tomorrow also. Yes, Mohan Leela Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much for a beautiful lecture, Prabhuji. It helped quite a bit for me, you know, in understanding the concept of liberalism and conservatism and how we should navigate. My question is, again, through navigation through this, Prabhuji, in an organization setting, right, at least I find myself swinging or struggling with this, right? For example, when we hear from a speaker who's conservative, you know, you take some inspiration from there. For some, when you hear from somebody who is liberal, you take some inspiration. Or even in leadership roles, when we make decisions, we are having to navigate between, you know, conservatism and liberalism. How do we navigate through this project? Because sometimes what happens is when, example, right, when you speak, you know, when you hear from a conservative person and you try to implement and you struggle through it, and then you say it's impractical. Right? How do we navigate through in an organization setting, and how do I make it personal to myself, Prabhuji?
That's a big question, and it will take time to answer that. So we have two options, because this is going to be a theme which I'm going to discuss tomorrow also. Will you be there for tomorrow's class?
Yes, Prabhuji, absolutely. Yes, Prabhuji.
So I can answer now, but I don't want to extend everyone's time. Shama Gauri Mataji, or Mataji, you can tell me what should I do? Because this is going to be a theme in tomorrow's class. Should I address it tomorrow or should I address it now?
Yeah, Prabhuji, you can answer the question, but don't reveal the secret what you are going to reveal.
Okay, that's difficult. Okay, I'll just mention a couple of points. This could be like a killer for tomorrow there. So basically, when we are working within an organization, there will be people with different moods. And in one sense, we can say that Prabhupada's house is big enough to have liberals also and to have conservatives also. And we could say that they have their own rooms. And sometimes within the temple itself, there may be people with different moods. But overall, each particular center leaders will have a particular mood. And overall, we can try to align with that. But in our personal life, we have to find what works best for us. So broadly, I'd say three principles, which I will elaborate in tomorrow's session. First is that recognize that in our moment, it's the house is big enough for space for everyone. And if we get to hear from, if we tend to be of a more liberal orientation and we hear from conservatives, then that can act as a cautionary note for us. You know, I shouldn't go too far. I shouldn't become too liberal. And so, you see, everyone can go too much in excess in their particular natural direction. So a liberal may become too liberal. A conservative may become too conservative. And I have had some very, very important, would say, discussions for my own growth by discussing with devotees whose stands are different from mine. So sometimes, so we can understand their concerns. Now, those may not be our primary concerns. So we can understand that there's space for both. That is the first point. And how there is space for both, that we can understand by having discussions if we have the opportunity. And beyond that, in our at an organizational level, the organization is too big, and don't get involved in conflicts which are not directly relevant for us. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said that if two senior Vaishnavas are having a conflict, don't take sides. just continue your practice of bhakti. So the organizational conflicts will be dealt with at organizational level appropriately. And it would be nice if those didn't come out in the open. And I'll discuss that theme tomorrow. And the third point is that in our lives, focus on what works best for us. So now, initially, at least in the first few years of our spiritual life, it's important that we have some guidance. Of course, we need guidance all the time. But in the first few years, at least, it is good to have some regular guidance if we can. And by that, we start understanding what is the important thing in bhakti. So the important thing is to say chant our holy names, to practice bhakti, to chant the holy names, to do the sadhana bhakti. Say, if for doing that, if being liberal is creating me too much problems, then maybe I don't need to be so liberal. If for doing that, being conservative is creating me too much problems, then maybe I don't need to be so conservative. So both liberal and conservative are meant to help us do better the activities of the core activities of bhakti. And not only for us to do them better, but to help us to reach others and help them do it better. Okay. So we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's session. Thank you very much for your thoughtful questions and for this opportunity to talk about Lord Nityananda's mood in our contemporary context. Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Nityananda Avirbhava Mahamahotsav ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande.
Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you so much for this wonderful.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Wonderful class. Radhe, Radhe.
Thank you very much. Happy to give service.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. 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 Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.